Say hi to Spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, tomorrow, women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The Big Dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just can't step in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the WWE Podcast. I'm your host, and we will be taking calls. If you feel the need to call in, and you'd like to voice your opinion, by all means, please do at 714-868-0800. That is 714-868-0800. And welcome. This is the WWE Podcast, as I said, and we're going to review Raw. We're going to review SmackDown Live, and I've got my official 2017 payback predictions, all of that coming up in just a few moments. There's a lot going on. Baron Corbin's been suspended, which when I first saw that, I thought it was because of a drug-related incident, but no, it is because he attacked Sami Zayn and put his hands on a WWE official, so he's been suspended for 1 week. So we have a lot going on in WWE, although it was a pretty solemn week on the shows, if you ask me. I guess coming off of WrestleMania, this is the first time that you feel that you're back into the down period of after WrestleMania. You know, you've accepted the fact that WrestleMania is over, and all of the feuds that were leftovers from WrestleMania that needed a conclusion will be done and over with and packaged, delivered, and signed for on Sunday. I think all of us are looking forward to the end of the Bray Wyatt Randy Orton feud. I think that is going without saying that is a feud that none of us are going to be sad when it's over. And yeah, by the way, that match, the House of Horrors match, is not even for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. Nope. It is all about a personal rivalry. Bray decided to say the hell with it. I don't care about the championship. All I care about is revenge, which guess what that does, folks? That hurts the value of the championship itself. And so, unbelievably, that match is not for the championship, but not like anybody believes that Randy was going to lose it anyway. That being said, could Randy now lose? Yeah, he could now. He could lose because guess what? The championship's not on the line, but I still think he'll come out on top. And once again, Bray Wyatt will become the big match loser and continue with that reputation that just does nothing but hurt his character. And Bray Wyatt, as interesting as he is, as visually intriguing as he is as a character, it becomes very difficult to believe what he's saying, even when his promos are as dark and as horror flick quality promos that he does backstage with that one light bulb in front of him, and then he has a bunch of images of snakes and death and just houses burning and whatever images. They're all cool. But it falls on deaf ears when time after time after time you get Bray Wyatt not following through, even on a metaphorical level of what he says he's going to do, obviously, he can't drag Randy Orton to hell. He can't really devour his soul. I get that. But you can at least win the match and do something diabolical after the match. But no, WWE Creative refuses to have Bray Wyatt win the big one outside of Elimination Chamber when he had the top prize in the game for a cup of coffee and then ended up dropping it to Randy Orton. No. It's once again going to fall on deaf ears until Creative has some consistency behind Bray Wyatt. At least that's my view on it, and I'll be sticking to it until I see otherwise. So, and to be honest, I don't think that's a selling point for Payback anyway. To me, the House of Horrors match is it's a gimmick match, and we'll get more into that as the show rolls on here. And again, if you want to voice your opinion, please 714-868-0800, and then you just got to press 1 and you'll get put into the calling banks. And I'll know you want to talk. I'll put you on the air. We can chat about WWE. Hey, even if you want to talk about MLB, I know this is not a sports show, NFL show, but it's very difficult, as a sports fan beyond WWE. And yeah, I consider WWE a sport. Shoot me. All right. Sue me, I should have said. No, don't shoot me, guys. Don't shoot me. I meant sue me. It's hard as a sports fan in general to not mention anything that's going on in the sports world my God, we have the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. My Rangers lost their first game to Ottawa. I mean, we had the NFL draft, which is a 3-ring circus show. We had the Red Sox beat the Yankees, and Masahiro Tanaka just put together an absolute clinic at Fenway last night. You have the Mets who just forgot how to win. Again, a lot of these are New York-based teams because guess what? I'm from New York, which is typically how it goes. But I just thought that, some of that's on the table too, guys. I mean, this is WWE. This is a centrally focused WWE show. But if there's some also it's kind of some side topics and detours you guys want to take, I'm all for it because this is it's an open floor and you guys are more than welcome. I kind of sprung this live show on you guys. I didn't really plan on it. I've had a crazy day. I mean, just trying to get some outside work done because for the first time in a long time, it is 80 degrees here in upstate New York. And when the weather turns, you got to clean up all the mess that winter left, which is branches and leaves and just garbage on the side of the road. And just, it's a mess here in New York until you get it all clean. So, all right, I'm way off topic. Let's get into Monday Night Raw. And it opened with a nice recap of Strowman and Big Show last week with the ring collapse and the whole nine yards. And more importantly, even more important than the ring collapse was Braun getting up from the ring collapse. That I don't believe has ever been done, which to me is more important than even the action itself. So I think that is the takeaway that I had at least from that match last week. Jericho ends up actually opening the live show and says that this is the last highlight reel ever on Raw because this Sunday he's going to beat Kevin Owens for the United States Championship and head to SmackDown Live. He panders to the crowd, which I really don't enjoy. I'm more of a fan of Jericho as a heel was more entertaining than Jericho trying to pander to the crowd of now everybody in the crowd are the friends of Jericho. And I like heel Jericho much better. I believe he could have kept that exact same persona, maybe not rip on the audience, but just rip on his opponents the way that he did. Just be the smarmy kind of walking out with that halfway smirk and just kind of that snotty nose in the air type of attitude that he had with Kevin Owens. He was getting cheered, when he morphed into that character with Kevin Owens. And I don't like the transition to back to all of a sudden everybody's your friend that's in the audience. Maybe that's just me. Whenever a talent realizes that they are getting support from the audience and they were previously a heel and all of a sudden they're not, the audience is their best friend. Seth Rollins is another case. He comes back at Extreme Rules. completely buries the audience, saying that he didn't need anybody ever. And lo and behold, 2 months later, he says it's all because of us that he's standing where he is. It's all because of us that we conquered the king. We beat Triple H. Really, go back a couple of months when you returned and you cut that promo and you said that you never needed anybody to get where you are. All right. So, I mean, I think that was obviously that's not a Seth Rollins. Just from a storyline perspective, I need congruity. I need something to make sense to me in a fantasy environment for me to get invested in it. If something doesn't click, it takes me out of the moment. And so maybe it's just me having too long of a memory beyond, you know, a month that, or even a couple of weeks that wrestling fans seem to have nowadays. Maybe I should just have the memory of a goldfish when watching wrestling, because that is apparently sometimes, you know, that is apparently the capacity as a fan that WWE wishes you have in some instances. So, I don't know. All right, so let's continue on here. The Miz, let me step back here. He's about to put Kevin Owens on the list again before The Miz interrupts, and Miz comes out and says Raw is no longer Jericho since he arrived, and he changes the show to Miz TV. Dean interrupts, and it goes to the Ambrose Asylum. He talks about his checkered past with Jericho, apologizes for destroying his light-up jacket, and he gives a gift to him, and it's a jacket with Christmas lights pretty much like taped on or stapled on. I don't know, glued on. And Dean wants him to try it on, man. And Miz says Dean is devaluing the IC championship every day he holds it. And Dean says he actually does have a gift for him and gives him Dirty Deeds again to end the segment. And look, at least I'm happy that WWE addressed the fact that Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho had a very checkered past. They even addressed the thumbtacks. I agree with that. It seems kind of like they pick and choose when they want to bring something back to the story that could help it and at least, you know, make it like, hey, wait, why are these two friends suddenly? Dean just tossed Jericho into a bunch of thumbtacks a few months ago, and now they're okay, you know. So I enjoy that. I'd give this segment a C- to a D. I really would. I don't enjoy this. This was a segment of sports entertainment-y content. I am of the fine. You know, I don't know. I know that every show doesn't have to begin with a 15-minute promo that leads to a match in the main event. I don't mind that formula. It's a formula that WWE has implemented for years and years and years. It seems to work. I mean, it can get a little stale and predictable, but you would look forward to the beginning of the show because you know that a main storyline is going to be addressed with somebody coming out and maybe get interrupted and then maybe somebody else and you get a match at the end of the show. I get it. Makes sense. You need a hook for the end of the show. So totally get it. But this was more of a sports entertainment-y, just I didn't like it. I know some people did. I don't enjoy the comedy segment of wrestling as much as Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon do. If comedy happens organically, sign me up. I'm the first one in line, and I love when that happens. You have guys that are just naturally funny. Santina Marella has got it when it comes to comedy. But when they try to script it and manufacture it, it comes up very very plasticky and very, very contrived. So anyway, I give the segment, as I said, barely pass to it's on the fence here, folks, for my grading that WWE is so concerned about. So anyway, the other issue I had, then why I graded a little bit lower the first segment, Miz went from a very prominent position on SmackDown Live to taking two steps back here on Raw. Miz, when he was dealing with John Cena and the lost episodes of Total Divas, I think we all love that. I think universally, okay, there's always going to be outliers, duh, you can't please everybody. But I would say the majority of people watching really enjoyed The Miz with his feud with John Cena more than anybody I think expected to when this match was rumored months before it actually was announced. And that to me, Miz was really establishing himself. He did a very good job at elevating the Intercontinental Championship, obviously before he lost it and then went on the reunion tour and all that nonsense. So I enjoyed that part of it. Miz was really coming into his own, and SmackDown Live was a home for The Miz that allowed him to grow as a character and become legitimate and get out of rid of that A-lister crap that I think was getting stale and didn't really do anything for him to progress. You stick him on Raw, and he's getting dirty deeds every week now, being left laying. And he's talking, you know, about being an A-lister in Hollywood again. And he got involved with that awful segment with Renee Young and Curtis Axel and talking about the Marine Five. I don't need that. I don't need a reminder of The Miz trying to make me believe that he's some kind of Hollywood star. That's long been dead. Miz is a good talker. I don't need him to remind me what made him fail. This obviously isn't on The Miz, okay? I get it. It's on creative. This is on the shoulders of creative. And The Miz just seems to have really taken two steps back since coming back on Raw, just left laying it week after week. So obviously, I know I have a very small sample size, but from what I'm seeing so far, The Miz is not a priority on Monday Night Raw. And I think that they can be missing the boat here with a character that has arguably been, if you could hand out a most improved award, Miz would be at the top of that list for me in 2016, you know, and into 2017, obviously. All right, Matt Hardy versus Sheamus. Matt won via Twist of Fate, and Sheamus wants a handshake, just as Jeff Hardy beat Cesaro last week. They shake hands, and once again, they keep it clean. That clean competition, you know, may the best man win mentality, which WWE, I don't even know if they know what that means anymore. So I was very shocked. And to me, not every match has to end in a brawl because the opponent loses and they're bad. They're a sore loser. I don't mind that it ends in a clean competition, may the best man win, honor code type of ending. I think that it's a nice change of pace. Now, do I think that WWE may turn Sheamus and Cesaro heel? I think it's a possibility. Why? Well, the revival is on the shelf and with an injury. So they need a heel tag team for the Hardys to feud with. And I don't know if they're going to want to have this clean cut, may the best man win mentality with Sheamus and Cesaro moving forward. So it's very possible that that the Hardys end up facing a newly established heel team of Sheamus and Cesaro. Dumpster match. And this is Braun Strowman versus Kalisto. And before I continue, guys, don't forget, you can call in if you want to join the conversation. If you have an opinion on what I'm talking about, please call in 714-868-0800. And then you just got to press 1 and I'll know that you want to get on the line and we can chat. And also you can tweet me at the WWE podcast. There's a underscore between every word. So it's the underscore WWE underscore podcast. The WWE podcast was taken. Yeah, it's very hard to get a useful handle, username on Twitter. It's difficult. So you search the WWE podcast, you'll see my logo. I'll come up and feel free to tweet me. I'll be able to answer your questions right here. All right, so the dumpster match, this was a better match than I expected. You know, he says, or Braun Strowman comes out and says he considers everyone in this arena trash, and he tries to get some heel heat. Of course, until he mentions the name of Roman Reigns, who is the biggest heel in the company, whether WWE likes it or not. So there was new entrance music for Kalisto. Strowman dominates most of the match, but Kalisto ends up winning. Strowman then begins to dismantle Kalisto and throws him in the dumpster, rolls it up the ramp, ties it up, throws it off the stage, which looked like about 3 feet. You know, back in the day, it was like probably like a 7 or 8 foot drop off of the stage, and this is about 3 feet. You know, no, I'm. It really wasn't that bad of a bump, but the visual was nice. I get what they were doing. No sign of Roman Reigns. You know, I expected, many people did too, that Roman Reigns would have been inside that dumpster when he went to toss Kalisto in and Roman would pop out. And my God, Roman Reigns wants revenge. And that didn't happen. I give WWE credit here. And I give credit where credit's due. I'm not one of these podcasts that comes out here and tears apart every segment. You know, there's a lot of those out there, you know, and just – everything WWE does. I don't know. Raw sucked this week. God, what are they doing with? What are they doing with Roman Reigns? What are they doing? You know, I don't want to come off like that. And if I'm criticizing, it's because I want to see the product improve. And I see room for improvement. I want to voice that opinion. You know, a lot of times you have fans that are having their own podcasts or call into shows and just bitch about the product. And it's like, if you hate it so much, don't watch it. You know, like, so that's not what I want this show to be. Am I going to critique segments? Absolutely. Am I going to praise and give credit where credit's due when it's earned? Absolutely. And this to me is one of the segments, and then I'll tell you why. Many people expected Roman Reigns to appear here. I did too. I thought he would appear and WWE wouldn't give him 2 weeks off. Obviously, the passing of his older brother, Rosie, may have contributed. But to me, you put a beating on somebody that bad with what Braun Strowman did to Roman Reigns 2 weeks ago, almost three now. You got to have him out for at least 2 weeks. You got to. And I give WWE credit for following through with that and not just having him come back. And my God, he's Superman. So I think I give WWE credit, keeping him off the show, selling the injury. I get it. WWE has to know that the fans know that Roman Reigns was at live events in between Raw and, Raw last week and this week. I get it. Roman needs to keep himself in shape. He needs to draw money at house shows. I'm fine with that. I really am fine with that. They need stars to draw money at these house shows. Roman's a big name. And love him or hate him, he's going to draw at house shows, and he's going to want to have a lot of families and kids who are going to want to see him. So it makes sense. I'm fine with it. But on the main storyline, the main show here on television, keep him off. And I give them credit for that. So let's see here. A video package on Roman Reigns. The video package, it pretty much made me want to puke. WWE put in the video like signs that fans made of "We love Roman." There were no boos in the video. It's just a total way to. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire of rage that the people who are booing Roman Reigns have created. It does nothing more than infuriate the fans that already dislike him, because it's you are misrepresenting what we are portraying. Or our reaction to your character, you're misrepresenting that. And so guess what the fans are going to do? They're going to boo even louder, because the harder WWE resists and tries to manipulate and change and lie about the reactions that Roman's getting, the harder and louder I believe the fans will react. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. I can't believe I'm still saying this. Since January, what was it? January of... 15? Was it 15? I think it was January 15 in Philly with The Rock coming out. Even The Rock got booed. So I can't believe I'm still saying this 2 years later, folks. It's unbelievable. All right. Bray Wyatt video. All I have here as my notes is stop the pain. Just stop the pain. I don't know how this House of Horrors match is going to work, but it can't be live, right? How can it be? Did they lower a house over the ring? My guess is it's a pre-tape deal where it somehow gets transitioned into the arena. All right. Alexa Bliss, she comes out and says she came to Raw to win, not talk. And she talks about how superstars come out here and how it's their dream to be here. And it makes her sick. Alexa, thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you. It's a sickeningly... corporate pet. Let's give WWE all the credit in the world. And my God, this place is it's such a dream to be here. How many people have said that over the last couple of months, male and female? It's so contriving, and it makes you want to puke. So thank you, Alexa. Thank you. Someone is here to win. Imagine that. Imagine that. Did you guys hear the ice cream truck? I don't know if you can hear it. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. We get a Bayley interruption, and quickly followed by Sasha, who's acting like the big sister. And it's not doing Bayley any favors. Sasha is like that big sister that comes out there and has to always protect Bayley. And Bayley is acting like she belongs there, which is not what her character is about. She's supposed to have the fans believe in her more than she believes in herself. But they have done so much damage to Bayley. So much damage. Let me get into the match, and I have some comments here. We get Sasha versus Alexa Bliss. Alexa intentionally gets counted out, which I'm fine with. She's a heel. Bayley then tries to pull Alexa. Bayley, who was on commentary, tries to pull Alexa back towards the ring as she's going up the ramp. Stops chasing her back up the ramp when she gets to the back, okay? Bayley then turns her back and tends to Sasha, and then Alexa attacks Bayley. Sasha then chases Alexa, okay? So Alexa then retreats to the back again, and Sasha turns her back. It makes no sense. It makes the baby faces look stupid. So this is just a mess. I don't know why people, you know, again, guys, this is about me wanting to see improvement in just in storytelling ability. That's it. That's it. It's a mess. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually rooting against Bayley at Payback. That's insanity. From the time she arrived in WWE from NXT, when she got that monster reaction as being Sasha's mystery partner, I think it was at Battleground over the summer last year. I have been rooting for Bayley to come to their main roster, thinking WWE, there's no way WWE could mess up this character. And my God, have they gone out of their way to do that in a way that, as I said, for the first time, really makes me want to see Bayley lose. Because they are making Bayley, not only is she not a great promo, but the material she's given to even say is it's so generic and not heartfelt. And Bayley doesn't feel like she believes in what she's saying. On top of, she accepted the championship from a tainted victory. Her first one as a babyface. It's just a mess. So we'll have to see what happens. Kalisto was reported to have hip and clavicle trauma, but Reigns just has a separated shoulder and a little bit of a fractured rib, you know, but because it's the same as being thrown off of a loading dock and then getting put in the ambulance and then getting the ambulance flipped on you. Yeah, same thing. Roman Reigns should actually be dead. Okay. Just the fact that these injuries are even comparable is laughable, but I'm just nitpicking. All right, let's move along to the main event, which was Dean and Jericho versus The Miz and a mystery partner. So, Miz's partner doesn't show up. Kurt starts the match anyway, and it's 2-on-1. Yep, babyface versus heel. Yeah, that's messed up in and of itself. But Bray Wyatt ends up showing him up in place of The Miz on the announce table. So Bray is now involved in a feud with, count it, folks, Randy Orton, Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose, and Chris Jericho. Oh, and don't even, not to mention, you know, Luke Harper, which was never resolved. Okay, so Bray Wyatt is just got his hands in a lot of pots here, at least creatively. It's weird. I've never seen a guy or character be involved with so many different stories at once. Let's see. All right. So he ends up giving Sister Abigail to The Miz to end the show. And so I don't know what the hell's going on. Oh, yeah, add The Miz to that. So The Miz gets Sister Abigail, Dean and Jericho both get it. I don't know what's going on. Bray Wyatt has about 6 enemies that he has unresolved business with. I don't know. Maybe they're just leaving the table open, and whoever decides to step up and challenge Bray Wyatt can do so. They have a lot of people to pick from, and now there's justification because look what Bray did to all these people. Well, somebody's got to step up. Maybe they don't know where they're going with Bray, and they're just like, it's going to be one of them. We just don't know which one, so we're gonna have Bray attack all of them, and then we'll pick one, you know, because we're not sure yet. That's what it feels like. All right. Let's get to SmackDown Live quickly. I'll run through it, and then we'll get to official 2017 Payback predictions. You can voice your opinion, 714-868-0800. Press 1 and get into the calling banks. I'm also live on Twitter at the_WWE_podcast. I like to say the WWE podcast, much cleaner. So Shinsuke Nakamura opens the show. Awesome. Just, my God, love his entrance and entrance music. This guy, I know they call him an artist. I mean, he is. This guy, I can't say enough. All right, Renee asks him, you know, some questions. You know, the burning question is, and whatever, and Dolph interrupts before he can even talk. I guess given Shinsuke's limited promo ability, it makes sense. They're going to kind of go the Roman Reigns route here. And since Roman can't talk that much, you'll never see Roman come out without an interruption within about 30 to 40 seconds. But I get it. All right. So Dolph interviews Shinsuke and then turns the table, and Shinsuke calls him a jackass. They do kind of the passive aggressive interviews with each other. It ends with Ziggler kicking him in the stomach, but it ends with Shinsuke standing tall. And then, more interestingly than that, which, by the way, I think Shinsuke and Dolph is going to be a great feud because, and WWE knows this, Dolph can work with anybody, make anybody look like $1 million. He's a good person. He's the best choice you could put somebody in who's debuting and is going to be a big money guy. Put him in a feud with Dolph. It puts you on the map right away, takes the pressure up because Dolph is such a ring general, and it just makes sense. I can see this feud going on at least, you know, maybe two pay-per-views. All right. So next was AJ immediately following this segment. And the reason I say that that's interesting is because that's the second week in a row that you had AJ immediately following a Shinsuke Nakamura segment. And I don't know if they're foreshadowing, if it's just coincidence, or if they're just trying to parallel these two in the psyche of fans' minds. I don't know. But AJ versus Shinsuke is happening. We all know that, folks. There's no bigger stage, obviously, than WrestleMania, but WWE likes to burn through matches quickly at times. I just hope they can stay away from this one until WrestleMania. I would be for it. As much as I want to see that, I would have the patience for it. Now, does WWE go to the wall twice? Maybe they have them at SummerSlam. Is it worthy of SummerSlam? Absolutely. But to me, that's such a big match. It's such a lucrative match. You want it at the biggest stage. I don't need to see AJ versus, any wannabe wrestler again. Okay, I don't need to see that at WrestleMania. You need to give this guy a real opponent. That one could absolutely tear the house down. Alrighty, AJ versus Baron Corbin was next. AJ won via roll-up, and Owens attacks AJ, and then Sami Zayn comes out, who haluba kicks Corbin, and Owens powerbombs AJ. I smell a tag team match. Not next week because Corbin is suspended, but probably the following week of AJ and Zayn versus Corbin and Owens. Keep on lookout for that. American Alpha versus the Colognes, which is a beat the clock challenge. American Alpha won. And at the time I said this, I said, and wouldn't they have to win the whole thing? I mean, the remaining three teams are heels. Oh, and you have heel champions. So we're going to get to that. And you guys know obviously who won. And WWE SmackDown Live is implementing a very interesting new strategy. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Rusev's message, I don't know where he was. Maybe he was in rehab. Maybe he was, I don't know what he's doing at the gym with a camera, kind of talking down to the camera. And he says that he'll only agree to come to SmackDown Live if he gets a championship opportunity at Money in the Bank, which is two pay-per-views away, June. It's going to be a while. So Rusev's on his way. Lana's also on her way. We keep getting video packages of that. I don't know exactly what her repackaging is going to be. She seems like some kind of ballroom dancer. I don't know, maybe she'll just come out and dance with a chair for 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing yet. But Rusev coming, fine. Hey, I think Rusev should stay away from the comedy and stick with the heel persona. Maybe get some new gear. Do something upon his return besides grow a beard longer that really makes him feel fresh. He can't come back with the same exact outfit, same music. I think he needs something new. I don't know what that is. Maybe even a new finishing maneuver. I don't know. Something. That's just coming from a 20-year fan that I'd like to see upon return some kind of adjustment, some progress, something new. Doesn't have to be a whole reformat. You know, he can still be the Bulgarian brute, whatever. Just maybe tweak a little something. I don't know what that is yet. I don't have the answer, but I just have the advice, right? Because I'm sure they're listening. Okay, Orton versus Rowan in a no DQ match. Could it have been quieter than it was for Rowan's music when it hit? It sounded like this. Here comes Rowan's music, and this is what the crowd sounded like. I'm going to imitate them. Ready? No, we're still in the air. That is Rowan's reaction, and you know, as long as Eric Rowan's been in the game here, it's alarming that he's getting that much of a reaction. Now, the reasons for it, He's had very, very little focus on himself, very little time on the mic to grow as a character. He's the Wyatt family stooge. That's how you know him. You have no emotional connection. But here is what Eric Rowan did that was good here. It was probably Rowan's best match that I can remember in a very long time. It was competitive, which I didn't expect and I liked. Yes, he lost to the RKO clean. I think everybody in the world expected that. But it was competitive, and it established Eric Rowan. At least it gave him a baby step forward. I'd like to hear him on the mic. I want to hear maybe a video package. Give me something other than sheet mask, standing in the background as Bray Wyatt cuts a promo guy. I need something. And that's why the reaction is totally appropriate to what WWE has creatively done with him. So I cannot blame Eric Rowan for this. All right. Jinder comes out afterwards, though, cuts another nice promo about intolerance because he looks different. It really, and I mentioned this last week, it's a throwback to Muhammad Hassan. If you guys look back in 2005 with Muhammad Hassan and Daivari, it is a, I don't want to say replica, but they're picking a lot of, they're selecting a lot of different or similar characteristics of the Muhammad Hassan character. Go back and listen to his promos. Muhammad Hassan, if he didn't leave, I think could have been one of the best heels of that decade. I really believe that. Now you have Jinder coming out, okay, with a turban on his head, saying we don't like him because of how he looks. But here's beyond that. He came out different in a suit. He felt the part. He looked more like a star on Tuesday than I think he's looked ever in his career in WWE. His promo felt real. It felt like it was actually coming from his heart. It was intense. The look in his eye was fire. It was anger. It was nasty. And so I don't want to say that. Look, he's not Paul Heyman. I'm not going to say he's my God. He's wowing me. But I would say Jinder is doing a very good job right now. I'm a fan of what Jinder's doing. I know that people are judging this push before anything plays out. And I would stress this again. Patience, folks. I know that he has more wins. I have more wins in WWE than Jinder Mahal does. And I've never competed. All right. Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. You guys get it. Jinder Mahal has no business being in a main event story because of the win-loss record, because he just went from lower card to number one contender. But here's the thing. Aside all of that, and a lot of it is a little bit frustrating because you're going to have this guy who hasn't won a match in how many months suddenly win the six-pack challenge. He shouldn't even earn a spot to get into that six-pack challenge, nonetheless win it, right? Suddenly challenge Randy Orton for the championship. But here's the thing. If it, in a month, 2 months, hell, a year, if he becomes a very successful heat-driving heel that's drawing money and you're paying to see him get beat, you're not going to give a damn about how he got there or the storyline leading up to, did it make sense that he even earned this championship match? No, you're going to want to just see him get his ass kicked. That's what matters in the end. That is what matters. I think all of this is very short-sighted, and maybe you can apply this theory probably to a lot of different stuff in WWE. I don't want to give WWE the credit that they probably don't deserve here, and that I would at least like to have seen Jinder not come out of nowhere, okay? Maybe have a little bit of foreshadowing, a little bit of prep. It was clearly a very short-sighted, or at least it was a decision that was made very close to that show, because there was no foreshadowing or any kind of hint that they were going this direction. But I'm liking what Jinder's doing so far. He needs to take this ball and run. This is his time. Give Jinder a chance. I am for it. Look at Muhammad Hassan, folks. If you didn't look at it, go back on the WWE Network. Look for Raw during 2005. I believe it was during the summer of 2005. Look for Muhammad Hassan. He was a great character. He had Daivari. What does Jinder have? He has the Bollywood Boys, which are now rebranded as the Singh Brothers. He has those henchmen. As a villain, you always have henchmen that do your dirty work. Look at Seth Rollins with J&J Security. Henchmen, okay? You need that. What do villains in movies have? Henchmen. And that is what fits Jinder on top of his anger and people being disgusted that he's in this position. And if he continues to, he's a solid promo and deliver it with authority and maximize his minutes. Guys, I don't, if this works out, I don't think you nor I are going to care if this made sense that he should even have been in this position at the, in the first place, because all's well that ends well, right? So that's why I'm giving Jinder a chance. Now, could this completely just dismantle and this could be a total flop and we look back and go, what was WWE thinking? Absolutely. This could happen. No question. But I'd rather look at this with an outlook of, you know what? This is something fresh. It did come out of nowhere. Storyline perspective, like, you've got to be joking. I get that. But if this works out in the end and you have Jinder, and you, here's the thing. Here's how you're going to know if it's working. If you get on TV, you're watching TV, and you want to see Jinder get his ass kicked, it's working. If you look at the TV and you see Eric Rowan and you don't care, that's when you're in trouble. If you feel some kind of emotion, it's working. Just keep that in mind. All right. That's the whole point. Regardless of how WWE got there, it's sloppy and just totally leaving massive holes in storylines of how Jinder got there, which is creative's fault. It's not the most symmetrically nice story that Jinder had followed here. It's just kind of like a hard turn, a 90-degree turn to, oh, Jinder. Oh, we're going with Jinder. I understand they're trying to break into India's market. Okay, fine. Business sense, fine. But they're also trying to build a new star. And I'm for it. That's what this company is about, is building stars. Is Jinder going to be a star? We don't know. Why do we not know? Because he hasn't been given a chance. Let's see what happens. All right. Okay. Enough of that. So Breezango versus the Ascension on a beat the clock. I think the only baby face in this match was the clock itself. Breezango, let's see, wins. And I wrote, what? What? And I'm not trying to quote the never-ending 2002 Stone Cold what chants, but I am literally wrote, what? I couldn't believe that they beat the clock. In WWE, SmackDown Live, anyway, they are going in a totally different direction. It's almost like they're using Raw as the mainstay of kind of the do-it-as-we-always-do formula, where SmackDown they're using as like their little petri dish of really testing out new talent and seeing how it goes. I mean, look what they did with Jinder. And now all of a sudden, Breezango gets a championship opportunity for the tag titles. It's bizarre. And I don't understand. Breezango's not a heel team or a babyface team, at least not in my eyes. I mean, I don't need some strippers with fake fashion tickets, violation tickets, whatever they give out, as a team I want to cheer for. They're not really that entertaining. I don't think they're as bad of a choice as the Ascension is. If I was going to pick between two evils here, I would go with the Breezango, right? But look, you just had American Alpha lose to the Usos. What's going to give you the best match? American Alpha versus the Usos. I know they're trying, and maybe they're just going off the cuff here, trying different things. This is the time to do it, right? I guess it's right after WrestleMania. Let's see what people got. Maybe we can build towards a new star for next year's Mania, whatever it may be. But this one to me was a little bit more puzzling than Jinder Mahal, believe it or not. All right, so we'll see what happens with that. And, of course, we have the Women's Championship match. And, again, we get a new stable here. Naomi versus Charlotte, which was a good match. I thought it was well done, but it ends with Natty, Carmella, and Tamina interfering, which causes a DQ. And Charlotte is now a babyface. Yeah, I'm cool with that. I think it's time. So she's going to be the babyface with Becky and Naomi, where the three heels are Tamina, Carmella, and Natty. I think that's fine. I mean, you have to have a balance, right? And Charlotte is respected. She can continue this queen stuff. I'm all for it. And I think that that women's championship match is probably some kind of multi-woman match again at Backlash. All right. Let's get into the payback predictions for not 2016, but 2017. The WWE Raw Tag Team Championship match, Hardy Boys versus Sheamus and Cesaro. This isn't as easy as I expected. And the reason I say that is my gut is saying Hardy Boys, but with the fact that Cesaro and Sheamus are teasing being good and not being sore losers, but you have the Revival who are a heel team go down, the equation isn't balanced anymore. So here's what I think happens. What that all boils down to is I still believe Hardy's retained. And I think this time when Cesaro and Sheamus go to shake both their hands, they shake their hands and Sheamus and Cesaro finally pull the trigger and turn heel and beat down the Hardys. That's my guess. Let's see what happens. Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho in the United States Championship match. This, my God, I mean, if I was a betting man, my God, this would be the match to put the money on, right? Kevin Owens has to retain. I would think Kevin Owens has to retain, and the reason is he's teasing a program with AJ Styles. You can't just have him be pulled from SmackDown Live back on Raw. It doesn't make sense, especially with Chris Jericho. Or actually, no, excuse me. The stipulation is whoever wins comes to SmackDown. I don't believe the loser goes to Raw. That wasn't ever said. But so could Chris Jericho win? I'd say 5% chance. But I believe that Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles is still happening for the United States Championship match. They've just laid too much groundwork for that not to happen. And you know, surprising us to surprise us is never a good surprise. All right, House of Horrors match. So, oh, by the way, Kevin Owens wins and retains, and we get the very predictable ending. Same with talk about predictable endings, this House of Horrors match, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. Now, before I knew that this was not for the championship match, for the WWE Championship, I would say it's Randy Orton. You know, I would bet the whole house, my whole house that I just bought, I would bet that on it, that Randy Orton retains. But since this is not for the championship, I could see Bray Wyatt winning. And I'm going to say Bray Wyatt wins this match because it's not for the championship. Everybody expects Randy Orton to win. It's going to be interference probably from Jinder Mahal. This is clearly a no DQ match. So it strengthens Bray Wyatt, who is on Raw and in a feud with, you know, half the roster. And you have Randy Orton lose from Jinder Mahal, which then you have a conclusion of Randy Orton Bray. It now is segued into Randy and Jinder, which puts heat on Jinder for having him lose. And it has Bray Wyatt come out looking strong and moving on to his next 16 feuds with, as I said, half the roster. So I say, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's the only reason I'm saying this is because the championship is not on the line. Bray Wyatt wins this match. On top of the fact everyone thinks Randy's going to win, it's a shoo-in. So Wyatt wins. Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries. You know, I haven't, truth be told, I have not been paying too much attention to the Cruiserweights. I know that these two guys are the top two guys in the division. They carry themselves bigger than Cruiserweights, which is very important in my eyes, to at least making them feel like they're not just kind of the freak sideshow that WWE has to put on every time that the Cruiserweights are on Raw. So I'm going to say that Neville wins again. All right, Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. This one gets a little more interesting to me. There's a lot of ways that WWE could go with this. My fear is, and I've bet against this before, and I probably shouldn't, my fear is that Braun Strowman, just like before Fastlane, was built up as a monster and built and built and built as a meal for Roman Reigns to feed off of. And I really hope that that is not the case, that Roman Reigns wins and beats Braun Strowman clean. It can't happen. Please, it can't happen. I think, and here's what I'm going to do, I'm going to say Braun Strowman wins. And the reason I'm saying he's winning is because they are not going to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar just yet. We all know, and it's very plausible, that is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans next year. I think that it's way too soon to start that. So if you have Reigns versus Brock down the line. It's in another 10 months they can start building that feud. You're not going to want to have him beat Strowman and then go after the championship. You're going to want to have Braun look like the guy who is dominant if he's going to be facing Brock Lesnar next. Now, here's the other kicker. If that match with Braun and Lesnar's not happening, say, until SummerSlam, well, then who do you have Strowman feud with in between, you know, now and, say, July? So maybe Roman and Strowman stretch this out even further, and maybe they go in one more pay-per-view. So this is a very difficult one to choose. I'm going to say my gut is saying pick Roman Reigns. I'm reluctantly saying Roman Reigns wins this match just because WWE cannot help themselves. They can't help themselves. Roman Reigns wins, but maybe not clean. That's my guess. And then you have at the next pay-per-view, it's a number one contendership for the WWE Championship, and that's where Strowman wins and moves on to Brock Lesnar because that was teased the night after WrestleMania. So if Strowman is indeed going to be the first challenger for Brock, you're going to want to have Strowman look really strong and maybe dominate most of the match, and maybe even after he loses, destroy Reigns again after the match. But Roman is probably going to get the pinfall here, and it makes me sick, makes me want to vomit. But it's if they indeed need a little more time to fill before they can move to Strowman and Lesnar, you're going to want to have Strowman lose this, and then maybe at the next pay-per-view, it's a number one contendership for the championship, and that's where Strowman wins. That's just my guess. So Reigns wins. Short of it. All right, Rollins versus Samoa Joe. I think I'm going to say Samoa Joe wins this. You can't have Rollins beat Joe clean. I don't want to see Joe lose clean yet. I think they've done a nice job with Samoa Joe. He's very legitimate. I want to see somebody interfere and cost Rollins the match, or Samoa Joe cheat to win. However it's done, I want to see Samoa Joe go over. I'm a Rollins fan. I'm a babyface fan. I want to see Joe get his ass kicked. It's just not the right time. So Samoa Joe wins, and maybe they continue this feud as well. All right. The WWE Raw Women's Championship, Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. I'm going to go with what I want to see, and that's a dangerous pick to do. Alexa Bliss wins and beats Bayley. Bayley has been a very big disappointment, and I'm going to lay that on the shoulders of creative. Alexa Bliss can talk. She's got the look. She's got the presence. I love Alexa Bliss. She is the Charlotte of the SmackDown Women's Division. So she is awesome. I want to see her with the title. She's always a very cocky, arrogant, heelish, just nasty villain of a champion, and I think she would do wonders on the Raw roster with that title. So with the just awful job that WWE's done with Bayley, take the belt off her, give it to Alexa, let her run with it. All right, so in summary, I'm going to say Hardy Boys retain, Kevin Owens retains, Bray Wyatt beats Orton, Neville wins, Reigns wins, Samoa Joe wins, and Bayley loses, so Alexa wins. All right, guys, that is my predictions. Thank you for joining me. Again, I'll be back next week with the Payback Review Show, SmackDown Review, SmackDown Live Review, got to put the live in there, and, of course, the WWE Raw Review. You can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Go to WWEPodcast.com. That's WWEPodcast.com. You can also follow me and rate and review me on iTunes and Spreaker and Stitcher. It helps out the show a lot. So please take a moment, rate and review me on iTunes, and it would be greatly appreciated, which is now branded, I believe, Apple Podcasts. It's not iTunes Podcasts anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. So whatever. You guys know where to go. You know what I'm talking about. So with that being said, guys, I will talk to you next time, and take care.
Say hi to Spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, tomorrow, women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.